Let us turn again to the chapter that we read together from the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 4, and let us consider now verses 18 and 19, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Proverbs chapter 4 at verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Here is a contrast then. There's the just or the righteous, the godly, those who are converted. You can use what description you please. And on the other hand, there are the wicked, those who are not living in a godly way, those who are not converted. And each of them are following their own way, their own path through life. And the path of the righteous is like the shining light, a light that is shining brightly. The path of the wicked is like darkness. The light of God's word is not shining onto. They might have that light, if only they looked for it. And the danger is that the wicked will stumble into a lost eternity, into the darkness into which no light can come. But the path of the just, there is light shining on it. There is light shining into that heart. That light, by and large, is increasing. That light will come to a midday brightness, which will never come to an end. In other words, those who are looking to Christ, who are receiving the light that he gives, they will get to heaven. And there they will experience light that is perfect, light that cannot be increased. Here is Solomon speaking to his children. Just as David, his father, taught his family. And he gives this call to listen so that they would have some real understanding of life and the significance of life and a real understanding of what is before us all in one way or another, whether it's the right path through life that we are following or not. Each path through life has its own end. They're very different. And therefore it is important for us to understand which way we are on. And we have a communion season before us very shortly. We have the Lord's Supper at the center of that communion season. And there is a question in connection with that communion season and a question in connection with the Lord's Supper. And it is this: are we fit to come to the Lord's table? And at the same time, we could put it this way. Is it our duty to come to the Lord's table? And to answer that question, we need to discern if we are on this path that leads to everlasting life or on the way that leads to everlasting darkness. Are we now on that way? And that is a very serious question, not only because because of the uncertainty of our lives and the certainty of death, because we should be earnest about our souls and where we will spend eternity, but also that we would be prepared to live our lives to the glory of God and be able to have the comfort of knowing that we are on the way to heaven. And I want to pick this out particularly from the beginning of the chapter. I mentioned the word understanding, but let me also point you to what is said in verse 7, where it says, or Solomon says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom or understanding, it doesn't much matter. But wisdom is the principal thing in life. To have this wisdom that would bring us to go through life on the way that leads to heaven. Wisdom to flee from sin, or to put it like this, where Solomon explains that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we do not fear God, in other words, if we do not have a holy respect for him and for his commandments, then we are on the way to everlasting darkness. And so we should be in earnest about these things. We're to get wisdom. And where will we get wisdom? Where will we get understanding? But in the Word of God. We're not to forget it. We're to be in real earnest about getting these things. We're to be in real earnest about seeking the Lord while he may be found. But let us focus more on the two verses that we have taken as our text. One about the way of the wicked. That's the second verse, but we will try to consider it first. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And if you're in the dark, it's very easy to stumble. If you're going through this world on that way that has no light shining onto it from the Word of God, it's very easy to stumble. And stumble into sin, stumble into carelessness and more carelessness, and stumble at last into a lost eternity. On the other hand, and that's the second thing we'll consider, the path of the just, it's as the shining light, and it shines more and more unto the perfect day of heaven, the perfect blessedness of heaven. Yes. There's these two things then, the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. First then, the way of the wicked, the way of wicked people. Now, we had in Psalm 82 about the wicked, They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. You see, the darkness here, I've spoken of it a little as to its consequences and the consequences of stumbling and stumbling into sin, but stumbling more fatally into a lost eternity. But the darkness that verse from Psalm 82 suggests to us is the darkness of ignorance. They do not know. They do not know what they need to know to get to heaven. They do not understand what they need to understand to get to heaven. Now, how much does one need to know? How much does one need to understand? And it's not a question that I need to answer. You see, we need to be taught by God Himself. And God teaches from His Word. So, what I'm speaking about at the moment is this: the darkness of ignorance. The darkness of ignorance. God knows how much we need to know. But more than that, you see, we should want to know as much as we can. We should want to learn as much as we can about the Word of God, what God has revealed for our good. We need to understand as much as we can. And in connection with understanding or wisdom, what does it mean? It means to make a proper use of what we know. And there's people in this world, and they know a huge amount of information, but they don't have enough wisdom to make any use of it. Just a whole collection of facts. And perhaps some of it isn't even true, but that's not the point just now. But we need both things as far as getting through this world safely is concerned. That we would know what God is teaching us in His Word, particularly about sin and the fearful significance of sin and what sin leads on to, and also the great matter of salvation, to be saved from a lost eternity, to be on the way to everlasting life, to understand a little about these things and to make use of what we know. Now, you see, the great danger of not having the light of God's Word shining into our hearts, the great danger of not making use of what we know. Now, I'm turning to what the Savior's words in John chapter 12, and first of all at verse 35, when Jesus said, "Yet a little while is the light with you." And I might quote just now from verse 46, "I am come a light into the world." I am come a light, you see. I mentioned the light shining from the Word of God. But in particular, Christ is the light. And we see the light that Christ gives through what is revealed concerning Him in the Word of God. How important, then, to be reading the Word of God and to be thinking about it and to be thinking about Christ as revealed in the Word of God. But He says, walk while you have the light. We only have it for a little time. The short time we're in this world, however long that might be, it's only going to be short in comparison with eternity. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Now, the light is about us, whether we have eyes to see it or not. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. The one who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. And he certainly doesn't know. He might know about it, but he doesn't know, he doesn't experience the way to heaven. You see, while ye have the light, while the light of God's word is where we are, is shining about us, whether we are in the darkness of a blinded soul or not, you see, the light is all about us. The light of the word of God, the light that Christ shines into the world, the light that tells us about how to get to heaven. While ye have light, we are told, believe in the light, believe in Christ as the one who gives light, that ye may be the children of light. And further, again, at verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You see, Christ is made known to us. Christ tells us about himself. He speaks of himself as the one who came into the world to save sinners. You see, that information is all about us, so to speak, wherever we are in contact with the word of God. He is speaking to us. He is telling us about himself as the one who came into the world to save sinners. And we are to believe. We are to seek the Lord. We are to make use of our opportunities. We are to make use of our privileges. Yes. Now, Christ is where we are because we are in contact with the gospel. Christ is speaking to us. He's telling us what he did, that he died in the place of sinners. Yes, he died in the place of sinners. We're to latch on to that because we are sinners. We are needy sinners. And we need to be where the light is shining. We need to come into close contact with Christ, so to speak. Otherwise, we will at last stumble into a lost eternity. As the Savior said in one of his parables, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Stumbling because they are going on in darkness, but maybe stumbling at the gospel. They are told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And they say, what does it mean to believe? And they ask all sorts of questions without ever getting to the point, without ever feeling their need of light from above, without ever crying out to the one who is able to save them from their sins. Crying out to the one who is able to do wonderful things in them and for them and cause the light that comes from him to shine into their souls. Yes. You see, we are told about Christ as a stone of stumbling. Christ is one on whom sinners stumble. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, a rock that causes people to go into sin, to stumble into sin, to stumble in the darkness of sin and the darkness of ignorance. Now, I'm speaking about Christ. How at all can I be saying these things about him? Or how at all can there be these things in the Word of God about him? That Christ is a stone of stumbling. Well, it's because we're in darkness. And even good things people can stumble over in the darkness. Things that are very useful. A book, for instance, that has important information for that person, and it's left perhaps where it shouldn't be. And they're walking through a room in the dark, and they stumble over that book, and they damage themselves. Well, the useful book becomes something that people stumble over. And it's not because of any defect in Christ that people stumble over them. It's the darkness that fills their minds. What then? Is it not this, that we should be in contact with the light, that we should be in contact with Christ, that we should be learning about him and asking him to come and work in our souls by the Holy Spirit? Yes, and remember this also, that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You might think that it's enough for you to be coming to church, but if you're walking on in darkness, if you're going on in sin and the ways of sin, if you're going on in unbelief, if you're not seeking the Lord while he may be found, you see, that way will end in a lost eternity, just as the way of outward sin will end in a lost eternity. And then do you say, what's the point of me coming to church then? I'll tell you what the point in coming to church is. It's this, that you would get the light of God's word shining into your soul, that Christ would shine into your soul. And you're to be asking him, Lord, shine into my soul. You're to be asking him, as Bartimaeus asked the Savior, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, that's it. Mercy. We're to cry to the Lord to have mercy on us, not to think that we can bring something to the Lord that will earn us salvation. That's to go on in darkness. That's the darkness of ignorance that will make people go on as if they could earn salvation. We must become altogether dependent on the mercy of God and the mercy of Christ. But oh, how earnest we should be to be where the light is as often and as much as we possibly can. Remember, I've quoted the first words a few times already today, and you've heard me very likely quote the whole sentence, maybe two sentences, many times. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But let us go on and notice something about the path of the just. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, the first thing I want to say just now is that those who are described as just or righteous, those who are who in whom the Lord has begun to work, those around whom the light of the gospel is shining, the light that comes from Christ, and not only shining about them, but more to the point, shining into their souls. They were once in darkness too. Paul says to them, "Ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." At one time in darkness, but now the light of God's word has been shining into them. You can take that from Psalm 119. "The entrance of thy words giveth light and makes wise those that are simple," those that have no wisdom, those that have no understanding. But the entrance of God's words gives light. Now, what that seems to mean is that there's an entrance into the Word of God. And the wise thing, of course, to do is to stand, so to speak, at that entrance, to be where the words of God, so to speak, are coming out, and so that we would have them entering into our souls. We are to be at this entrance where we may hear the words of God, the words that God has revealed in Scripture. Now, what does all that point to? It's pointing to this, that God speaks to sinners through the Word. And when these words penetrate into our souls, they bring light, they bring wisdom, they dispel the darkness of our ignorance, they dispel the darkness of our sinfulness. And what a blessing that is, that the Lord is able to do this. And seeing the Lord is able to do this, let me repeat what more or less I have said already, how much we need to be where the Word of God is preached, how much we need to be where the, how much we need to be making use of the Word of God by reading it, by thinking over it. That's coming, as it were, to this entrance, which gives light, where God shines out through the teaching of his word, and particularly, as I have said already, about sin and salvation, these fundamental things about our souls. Now, we might just think about the Lord meeting with Saul of Tarsus and sending him out, particularly to the Gentiles, to preach the gospel. But he recalls that the Lord sent him out to open the eyes of sinners and to turn them from darkness unto light. Now, let's just stop and think about that. Paul is sent out to open the eyes of sinners. Could he? Could he really do that? And you might well say, no. No man could open any sinner's eyes. And to that extent, you're right. But what does the Word of God mean? That's always the question. It might be altogether on the surface of what we read that we find what has really been said. And if Paul is sent out to open people's eyes, the eyes of their souls, the eyes of their understandings, what's that pointing to? The fact that Paul was being made use of as an instrument, that God was using Paul as an instrument, whether he was speaking in Jerusalem or Antioch or Corinth or any of the multitude of places where he proclaimed the gospel message, when he spoke about sin and salvation in particular, he was there as an instrument. And as he said with Silas to the jailer at the Philippi jail, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." We might say that Paul opened this man's eyes. But when we say that, we have to be careful. We have to remember that Paul was just an instrument. But the Holy Spirit opened the man's eyes. But you see, it was in connection with Paul. It wasn't a sermon. It was a conversation. But still, Paul, as a messenger from God, was proclaiming the truth about Christ. His eyes were opened. His soul was open. The light came from the words that Paul spoke, the scriptural words that Paul spoke. And they gave light to the man's soul, and he believed. There was more in what Paul said than is recorded in Acts 16. We don't know exactly what he said, but he expounded to the man the truth about Christ as a Savior. And so, in connection with Paul telling this to the man, expounding the gospel to the man, there was light from Christ. Remember what I said, what I quoted? "I am the light of the world." Jesus saying that. And Jesus saying that every bit as much as in the jail in Philippi, when Paul was there as an ambassador for Christ, every bit as much as when Christ himself was preaching, say, the Sermon on the Mount. Christ was shining light into people's souls. We have no record of the success or otherwise of the Savior's putting out of light in the direction of the people who were listening to him in the sermon recorded in Matthew 5-7. We know, oh, what a wonderful thing that was, that Christ was there at the jail in Philippi. Christ was putting out light into that man's soul. The Holy Spirit was there. And that was the beginning of the jailer's journey from a state of sin to that place where there is perfect light. He walked in the light of God all the way from there on. Now, we don't know anything about the man's spiritual journey, but we can say this about it. The path of the jailer was as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And that's what is true about every individual person into whose heart the light of God's word has shone. Every one of them is going along a path which can be represented as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day of heaven. Now, I don't want to go into this matter of how constant the light is, and as far as a person's feelings are concerned, it may be very much otherwise, that they always feel that light, or that they feel that light increasing. They may not feel that they are growing in knowledge or growing in grace, but you see, this is the general picture. And it's more a case of what the Lord sees rather than what the individual feels in their own experience. The path of the just is as a shining light. You see, the light of the Word of God is where they are. They may not get as much out of it as they should. They may not get as much out of it as they might. But surely they are getting something out of the Word of God. Yes. Now, one thing that is true about the just, the righteous, the godly, perhaps sometimes we might confine the use of the word godly to those who we might say are advanced in grace. But let us just take it as those who have a new heart, who have the image of God restored, at least in its beginnings. And this is what we read in the Word of God in a number of places. The just shall live by faith. They are made righteous. That's part of the salvation of God. And they are living by faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ is revealed in the Word of God. That's what you have. Christ revealed in the Word of God. How important faith is. Faith to receive the testimony of the Word of God, to receive it as truth. But there's more to saving faith than that. Saving faith includes this: trust in the God of salvation. Trust. And that's how it should be with us, that we would be trusting in the Lord God, trusting in Christ in particular. You see, apart from this light, we cannot see Christ. Apart from this light shining from the Word of God, shining from Christ himself, shining into our hearts, we cannot see Jesus. Not that we are to expect to see him in a vision or anything else, or to have some imaginary picture of him. No doubt the general picture would be heavily influenced, if not entirely influenced, by someone who was the model for some painter in the Middle Ages. We don't know at all what Christ looked like physically. The thing is to receive him by faith, to receive what is said about him, to receive it by faith. That's it. To receive the truth of the Word of God by faith, to receive it as true, whom having not seen, Paul uses that expression, seeing yet not seeing, seeing through this spiritual light entering into the soul, although not seeing him with the eyes of our bodies. You see, the people that Paul was writing his epistles to, unless some of the Hebrews, they wouldn't have seen Christ with the eyes of their bodies. But they saw him because this light shone into their heart, the light that was even shining back into the Old Testament age, so that David, for instance, was looking to Jesus when David looking to Jesus when he was speaking about the covenant ordered in all things and should. And this is, he said, this is all my salvation and all my desire. How did he get light on that? How did he get to understand that in some degree? It was because Christ, the Son of God, before he had come into this world, Christ, by the Holy Spirit, was shining into David's soul. There was light, that light that increases until he came into the perfect day of heaven. And that was what was true of David. Although he had his spiritual difficulties, although he sinned so seriously, whatever we might say about the light he had the point of his particular sin and the immediate aftermath, yet by and large, this that we have in verse 18, it was true of David. It was shining more and more unto that perfect day. And that is true of all the people of God. You see, when the people of God are taken away from this world, that is true of them all. If one thinks of the one who has been taken away from this world just a few days ago, what we are to think about her, all that give evidence of being among the children of God, is this: they have got home to that place where no darkness is. It will be perfect light. They will be delivered from the darkness of ignorance. They have been delivered from the darkness of ignorance. They have been delivered from the darkness of sin. That's what you have. And Paul, in speaking about these things, he says, comfort one another with these words. Comfort yourselves with these words in connection with the people of God that they're taken to heaven. You see, they've got to the end of the journey. They've got to the perfect day, where there's perfect light, where there's nothing to get in the way of the light. Nothing to get in the way of the light. And sin may get in the way of the light. That would be one way of expressing what I was saying about David. Sin would have got in the way of the light, though the Lord recovered him. And that will happen in the Lord's infinite mercy. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, in other words, his death. That's when the blood of Christ was shed. His death cleanses from all sin. The merits of his death cleanse from all sin. And that's something on the basis of which sinners should go to Christ. However convinced they might be that they are still on the path of darkness, still, you see, through these words, Christ is shining light in our direction. We're to look to him as the one who died. And by his death, he will take away all sin. As a result of his death in the place of sinners, if they believe, he will take away all their sin. They have every encouragement to believe, because Christ is speaking to all who come in contact with the gospel. Yes, and the people of God are to take this seriously. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is cleansing from all sin. It goes on cleansing from all sin. Yes. And whatever sin might be troubling you, believe it. You see, you are to come to Christ. The light of the glorious gospel is shining to you and may it shine into your heart. That's what you should be asking for. May the light of the glorious gospel shine into my heart. Yes, and may it shine into my heart more and more. And we might just notice what we have at verse 12. Speaking to those who have learned something of wisdom. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. In other words, they will be, you will have plenty room. It may be a narrow way, but you will have plenty room to walk safely onwards to heaven. And this, when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. However, we differentiate in the spiritual life between walking and running. I'm not going to try just now. But the point is, you will not stumble. If you are in the right way, if you are under the influence of the Spirit of God, if you are in the light of Christ, and if you are seeking to walk in that narrow way that leads to everlasting life, then you will not stumble. If you are walking in the light, that's the thing. Maybe many a mystery about these things, if we were to go into detail, but I'm just setting out the broad principles just now. Thou shalt not stumble. In dependence on Christ, in dependence on Christ, you will not stumble. And then you will say, but if I'm left to myself, yes, yes. But what we need to say to that is, go on seeking the Lord. Go on pleading with him to keep you in the right way. Go on pleading with the Lord to shine light into your soul. Yes. And every means of grace, the preaching of the word, the sacraments, the private religion, it's all in what the Lord can use. There's light shining in connection with all these things. And what we need to ask is that that light would be shining into our souls. Yes, note verse 23 in connection with what we have been saying. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart. Now, of course, if we trust in ourselves, that's dangerous. But this is putting our duty before us. Keep thy heart, not just keep the outward things, but this is the first thing. This is where we're to begin, our heart, our desires. And when you find your desires going astray, take them to the Lord. Ask for the light to shine into your heart so that you would go in a right way. Yes. And you see, we have a picture in Psalm 84. As we were singing, at least we sang part of it. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, or comes from thee, we might say. But this is what I was looking for. They go from strength to strength. In other words, from one degree of strength to another. The strength that God gives. And why I'm quoting that just now is, it's in connection with the progress that there is along the way that leads to the perfect day. There's progress from one degree of strength. It's good if they're feeling their weakness. But still, though they may be feeling their weakness, they may not be recognizing growth in grace. Still, the Lord is giving them more strength as he gives them more light. And again, the Lord God is a sun and shield, a sun, a source of light. The Lord God continues to be a source of light for his children. The Lord will give grace and glory for this life and for the next. And notice this, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing, nothing that the Lord sees to be good for them. You might feel, I wish I had this. Maybe something spiritual, some particular degree of spiritual attainment. Well, perhaps you have more of it than you realize. But leaving that aside, the Lord knows what is good for you, and the Lord knows how it is good for you to feel. I know that there may be a great deal of unbelief that is keeping back the blessing. But you see, whatever they may be in this world, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And at the end of the day, there will be perfect blessedness. The light shines more and more unto the perfect day, the perfect day of what believers experience in heaven, when it is said, or will be said, depending on whether you're thinking of those who have gone home to glory or those who are still in this world, thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. The Lord shall be thine everlasting light. Yes, thy light in this world, but the full beam of divine light, as far as a human being can receive that, their powers, their capacity will be greatly increased when they get to glory. But they're still finite creatures. There's still a limit to what they can receive. But still, it's the perfect day, the perfect light of heaven that they will be brought to. But as far as this world is concerned, let the people of God, those who have reason to believe that they are going along the path of the just, that they have this light shining into their souls, however dimly they can perceive it, notice that they have a duty to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Now that is related to growing in knowledge. And it's related to, in other words, learning. Learning the things of God as revealed in the Word. The light shining from God to us through the Word. We're to grow in grace, to grow in knowledge. And again, it means that the people of God in particular, everyone as far as that is concerned, but in this context, the people of God are to make use of the means of grace that in the first place will increase their knowledge of spiritual things. The preaching of the word, which the Lord is particularly pleased to bless. And second, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which those who are on the path of the just, those into whose hearts the light of the gospel has shone, they are to concern themselves with their duty to remember their Savior's death and to consider it not least as a means of grace. The Lord's Supper is dispensed in connection with the Word. The Word is preached at such a service. They are to make use of the word, that they might grow in knowledge. And the Lord, in connection with the symbols of his broken body and shed blood, it will make them, perhaps there, perhaps afterwards, to get some growth in grace. We speak of it as a means of grace, a means that the Lord uses to dispense grace to his people. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But let me say this to those who are not on the path of the just. We're still turning their back on Christ and salvation through him. I'm quoting from Jeremiah 13. Give glory to the Lord your God before he cause darkness, before you pass into the eternal darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. Give glory to the Lord. How? By receiving Christ as the Savior that is set before you. Give glory to the Lord. Yes, or to quote verse 7 again, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Get it from the word of God. Get it from Christ. And with all thy getting, you see, there's a call for earnestness about these things. With all thy getting, get understanding. Now, one thing further, just to repeat again, these words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, thou knowest us, thou knowest our needs. Take us each one under thine own loving care. Send light. O Lord, remember us. Remember those who are still in darkness, and remember those who feel that they are in darkness, even if they are in the light. Lord, deal graciously with each one of us according to our need, and may we all begin to walk in the light, or go on walking in the light. May that be the great matter for us, to be in the path of the just, which leads more and more towards the perfect day. May we be afraid of continuing in the path where we might stumble because of the darkness. Oh, deliver those who are enveloped in darkness. Give us thy blessing. Pardon our sin. Keep us in care for us. Do us good. Draw us by almighty power. And wash away our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.